Welcome to the Married Man Show with Married Man Jack, Married Man Jay, and this week, special guest from Game of Thrones podcast and from Tennessee. What part of Tennessee again? That doesn't matter. He's Nick, single man Nick, Northwest Tennessee.
Yeah.
The home of the Volunteers.
That's right. Greatest football team ever.
You lost us on that one.
Yeah. I mean, they've won a championship. Have they won a championship?
That's what they.
They've won a bunch, actually. The last one we won was in 98.
With Peyton there?
Peyton left, then they won.
Peyton never won one. Yeah.
Really shocker. But no, Jay warned us we had to keep this relationship, and you already veered off.
Yeah, we did. It wouldn't be a show if we didn't have some type of sports talk in it. But let's bring it back here. This show is about your relationship advice questions, and it is open to anybody. This is the Married Man Show, and it's generally guys talking on the show. It is open to anybody with any relationship-type advice questions or story you want to share.
Why can't I just talk about what I want? What I have to be? Why is it about relationship advice?
Because that's what the Ramblecast is for, which will be coming back this summer. The Ramblecast returns.
I'm getting warmed up for it.
For its new season.
Me.
Which will be, soonish, maybe first week of June, somewhere around there, maybe.
Soonish, it's going to be soonish.
Because that's, you know, we run a professional tight ship around here. But the Ramblecast.
We have the scheduler. That's what we call her now, the scheduler. Is that what you call her, Jay? Do you have a special name for
her? No, she's my lovely wife, and I love her very much.
Is she in the room?
No, and it wouldn't matter if she's in the room or not because I love her very much.
She's in the room. Because I was asking about the schedule this week, and she said, I have to check with Jay when he gets back done with work. I said, no, you're the scheduler. You do what you want.
Yeah, thanks. Again, like just repeatedly. It's the old adage, revenge will be swift. And when the day comes, waiting until the last game of the season between the two people and the last at bat in which Batista finally gets beamed with the ball, it will not take that long.
It will not
for
take that
my
long.
Revenge. This is a relationship advice show, but really anything in our lives related to our relationships is kind of what we talk about, whether it's, you know, general hardships of, you know, being married, good and bad.
Is there good?
Yes, there's a lot of good. I was just at a wedding this weekend.
And did you try to talk the guy out of it? Run!
No, I don't know the guy as well. This was Colleen's college roommate.
Could you slip them an anonymous note?
Nah, they seem really happy. They seem really in love.
Because he was drunk.
It's because the beginning.
Yeah. They've been dating for like 4 years.
He thinks his whole life's ahead of him.
It's different. Yeah. I think it's slightly different now because people are getting married older. And I feel like there's less of this when you get married, because things will be perfectly fine.
They're getting married older, so they're close to dying anyway, so they don't care. That's what you're saying.
No, I think people are waiting till they're kind of more mature, more ready for something. Like, they realize marriage is a pretty serious thing and shouldn't be taken lightly, so more people are waiting.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Right.
People
are maturing later.
Oh, sure they do.
But the divorce rate was like 50-50, but I feel like it's probably, it might be 60-40 now. I feel like since more people are waiting to get married, maybe not even necessarily getting married, there's not as much pressure to get married.
I know more people, that's a good point, because I know more people married than, I haven't met that many people getting divorced lately.
Yeah. Because again, I think people aren't getting married as young. It's sign of times. It's like
your mom will say. She'll see someone that's been married like 45 years and they get divorced. She goes, "Why? At this point, why?" I said, "Well, maybe they can't stand each other."
Well, you look at now the oldest woman in the world, because the one just passed away in Brooklyn recently, and now it's in Italy. She's 116 and she still takes care of herself. Like, she doesn't live in a home or anything. She still lives in her home.
Your mom and I talked about that on the Amazing Race podcast.
Okay.
It's,
this lady is the last person born in the 1800s.
Yeah, November.
How sad was that for the person in Brooklyn? All right, I'm number two. I just got to wait this out. Damn! I mean, that would just... I'll be honest, give that to me.
Come on.
I'd be up in heaven just pissed. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay. Well, give me my wings. Well, whatever. Oh, yeah, this is great. But I was this close to being the last person from the 1800s. The last one. Just go to hell.
It is...
Seriously, I'd be pissed. I'd just like, you know, be different. You're number three or four or five. It's different. You'd be like Peyton Manning in college football. It's no big deal.
Does it make you sad that you will not be the last person from the 1900s? Like it's practically impossible.
How do you say it's impossible? How do you know?
Because there's, you know, 62, 61 when you were born.
I was born in 62. Yes.
62. So
I was alive when Kennedy was.
So what? Roughly 38 years of 90s or of 1900s left to kind of live longer than you. So I feel like the odds are against you in that one.
Wait, 38 years? What are you talking about? This is 2016.
So I'm saying of last of the 1900s, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You got to put it in more context of the time. You know, you got to be like, Jack was the last guy to use an 8-track player.
You go.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you talking about? I still have it.
You still have an 8-track player?
Oh, no. I do remember though when I got I was getting a cassette player. My mom goes, "Why are you wasting your money on that?" I go, "Because it's better." Put it in my car. She goes, "You have all the 8-track because I had an 8-track tape player at home." You know.
Yeah.
And I go. She goes, "But you have all the 8-track tapes." I go, "Yeah, but look how big they are. I only have a small car." So I'm getting the cassette player. They're smaller, and you can rewind it. You can fast forward it. I go, the track, you had to hit the track. And you still couldn't get to the song. If it's the second song you wanted, you could only get to the track it was on, whatever it was. And
right.
So she just didn't understand it. I don't. So when she got the custom van they got, my parents got, she put it with an 8-track tape player.
Just to spite you, or?
I don't know if it was that or a cassette player hadn't come out yet. You know, my mom's a little stubborn, so... Mm-hmm. You have all the 8-track tapes. That's great. I have all, and I have cassettes. And now that did people with cassettes not get CDs? No,
I didn't.
You didn't
for the longest time. I mean, I was on the cassette tape because you know CDs were expensive when they came out. And then And then I still, like a lot of people, made mixtapes for friends, and you couldn't do it on a CD player until like 99.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I'd rather. Same as I was with VHS tapes. I stayed with VHS until probably 2004. Because you go to Walmart, you could get a 6-hour or 8-hour tape, blank tape, pop it in every HBO, have a free movie. You'd have like 4 movies on one VHS tape.
I feel like
that is true.
I feel like Nick's been in Tennessee too long because the Tennessee draw is starting to come out a little bit stronger. I go on down to Walmart, I pick myself up 6-pack of tape, 6-pack of beer, now good time.
You go out to the Walmart, the guy greets you, say, "How you doing here? Come on to the Walmart. Come on.
You want you a buggy?" No. I apologize. I will try to from now on to enunciate my word.
Your horse is pooping in my stall.
No, just giving you a hard time. It's adorable.
It is funny, though. I've never bought a CD. Went out to like a, I don't even know who sells CD players. Best Buy, I guess?
Yeah.
We used to have like, you know, records, stereo stores and stuff like that. They used to have stores like that. Every year I'd buy a new stereo, a tape player. I don't think I've ever bought a CD. I just used the one that came with the car.
Uncle Bill gave us our home CD player, right?
He did. Yes, he did.
So, yeah. I remember for me, it was just when I got my CD player, it was the fourth grade. And I think it was my big Christmas gift. That was like one of the things that I wanted because it was just a simple boombox. I think it was probably a couple $100. It was expensive. How cool I thought I was. Like I could tell my friends because I was one of the first kids in my class to have a CD player. And
it was a good gift because you liked music.
But yeah,
I'm saying I never bought one for my car. The car one. I think.
Okay. Well, you could be Colleen that doesn't have the audio jack hookups for the iPod, so she uses the cassette one where you plug in your headphones and the cassette thing.
Nobody still has that.
She uses it. That's what she uses to this day.
Come on now.
But yeah, yeah, it's you know, it's Colleen for you. She lives in the past. But I swear how excited I was that I got that CD player. And but to Nick's point, like the mixtape, like the art of the mixtape.
Right.
I guess it kind of lives on with Spotify that you can kind of make a playlist. But there's just something about like just getting the play header right and just, you know, hitting the
and getting the perfect music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that perfect, like each song.
Yeah, because you had to pick a few songs that the person knew, but not too many. And you had to throw some in there. You're like, oh, man, you're really going to be blown away by this one. And then you had to have them in a certain order, too. Like, I think in High Fidelity, they talk about that. You know, the first song has to be good, but the second one has to take it up a notch. Then the third one, take it down just a little bit.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
we used to make, when we would go to Vegas, before we started flying, and we'd go in the van from hell, the TAS van with no air conditioning. We'd all, whoever went, everyone had to make a tape.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd bet on who would have the best tape because you're going to Vegas.
Ah, okay.
And that was the thing to get the best songs, to get the best things.
Yeah.
And to
so
get
who,
it,
who know, generally won the battle?
I usually won.
Oh, okay. Okay. But I thought your mixtapes would just be all Boston songs. I just jumped.
No, well, see, well, we all like Boston. We all like Journey. We all like, you know, simple stuff. But I would get like the Doobie Brothers. I would get the driving music. Because Bob got this one thing once. It was Bobby the Box. It was like a 15-minute song, and we just made fun of him the whole trip because of the stupid song. I even one time I had the
but a 15-minute song could be a good driving song. It has a good beat. Or was it just too slow?
It might have been a Bruce Springsteen song, which wasn't his best song. I go, what the fuck is this? I go, you lose. Because I had one year I had Good Morning Vietnam. You know, Robin Williams is doing Good Morning Vietnam, the whole opening thing where he does that.
Yeah. Wait, I don't have that record. Where did that one go from your collection?
Had it somewhere. It was my opening. That's how I opened it.
Nice.
So there you go.
You're even putting movie clips in your mixtapes. That's
what I do. I'm there to win. And Dells would be stupid. Dells would be like John Denver.
Ugh.
Rocky Mountain High. My plane's running out of gas. Something like that.
Oh, too soon.
Is it too? It's not too soon.
Yes. It's only been, 20 years since he died? 20-something years?
It's long enough. It's long enough. Put gas in your plane. Mm. It has a little needle there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I was just watching Hawaii 5-0 and Dano landed a plane. So.
But I think it was the altitude and like passed out or something, right? And just they crashed.
Is that what it was? I like
that. I
kind of like some of John Denver's music. But
good music.
Dell was a big John Denver fan, and we just made fun of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you do. It's what you do. Right?
I mean, with the 70s, I mean, you had singer-songwriter era, but you also had a lot of that punk rock going around, and all of a sudden you got Sunshine on My Shoulders. It's like, oh, my God. Where's this coming from?
Yeah, Dell would have the stupid, you know. I don't think Dell put a lot of energy in. You know Dell.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
He's not a high energy guy. A lot of, you know, there's not any effort there.
Imagine if that's the way the ladies talked about him.
You know. I'm sure that's what they did.
So there's not a lot of, you know, Dale. There's not a lot of energy there.
We've talked about the art of the mixtape here. Now, has anybody made, bring it back to the relationship angle, has anybody made a mixtape for a lady that they were interested in and actually it worked in terms of getting the girl?
I don't think that's the actual deal maker, but it definitely works. I mean, I never made
it. Well, it depends. Like, where is it in your toolkit? Is it like, is that your kind of opening salvo, or is it more the deals closer? Like, what's are you, it's, I'm guessing it's not a closer for you based on what you said, but.
Well, in my experience, the mixtape, mix CD is usually within the first week or two of meeting that person, because you might start a conversation, and if they're into music, like you and I are both into music, Jay and Jack, if you're talking about certain artists that you like and there's a similarity there, you'll get into, oh, have you listened to this person? Have you listened to this person? And if they say no, then you're like, oh, let me make you a mix CD, or let me share it on Dropbox. But like, I'll send you this and tell me what you think, because that kind of puts that pressure on them to go, okay, I've got to listen to it now. And if they're into you, they'll get back to you. Yeah. And if they're not, then they're like, oh, I haven't listened to it yet. And then you're like, okay, so you kind of know.
Then you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You didn't listen to my Dropbox? You didn't listen to the music? I dropped in the box. Literally, all you have to do is go to the box and click on it.
Well,
you don't have to go out of your way. Just click on the box.
Well, I think that's a little less personal. Like, you know, when we were younger with mixtapes or mix CDs, you actually had to make something. You had to put thought into it and give it somebody.
We had mixed records.
Mixed records.
Mixed records.
That's an intense process.
I mean, engrave this.
Yeah. It was, you know, you had to put it on. It was like 78. So you had.
You know how long it took me to make these grooves?
You're going too fast. You can't run it at 33. It's too fast. Or you make a 45 and they didn't have the little 45 little disc
little
thing that goes
thing,
in there.
Yeah.
So it's spin all over the place. You go. So you have to cut a piece of cardboard and put the hole in it.
Tricks
of the trade.
When Colleen and I first started dating, that was kind of the getting to know you phase was the mixtape phase. And we bonded over Jeff Buckley. So she sent me a Jeff Buckley CD and I made her like a mixed CD.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's similarly. That's how me and Colleen actually became friends too. Cause
you
a lot
son
of
a bitch. No,
yeah, it's probably the same time. You know, if you think about it, like 2006, 2007. And people were bashing her for liking Jeff Buckley. And I was like, no, Jeff Buckley's good. You know, he didn't have a lot of original material, but
who was bashing people for not liking Jeff Buckley?
I guess because Colleen's handle or her exit was always, you know, Jeff Buckley, Tina Fey, Mira, you know, and people were like, why do you like Jeff Buckley so much?
Well, yeah, because for me, Jeff Buckley's right. It wasn't as many original songs, but his interpretations of songs I thought were always. I mean, his voice is incredible.
Exactly, because like you take Hallelujah, which is his famous song everybody knows, which is a Leonard Cohen song. Everyone sings it. If they sing it, they sing it the Jeff Buckley way. They don't sing it the Leonard Cohen way. Same as Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan.
I sent the Leonard Cohen way. Sorry.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay.
You don't even know Leonard Cohen.
I do. I'm sorry.
The Leonard Cohen song is actually, when you hear it, it's like like you feel like it knocks you back a little bit because it's like, wait.
That's why I do it, because it's violent.
Oh, okay. No, it's not violent. It's just weird. It's Leonard Cohen.
Yeah. I'm
into weird. Weird is what I do.
But there's some CDs I know that I sent her. She was probably like, this sucks, but I like this guy. So I'm going to, you know, act like I like it. like in retrospect, like 9 years later, like, I don't know if she really liked this or not, but you know, at least she acted like she liked it. And that's when you know.
Well, you know, your mom and I, when she would play music, I go, I don't like this. I didn't hide it. Cause she was really into Bruce Springsteen. I like Bruce Springsteen, but then he would do all those, those videos back in the 80s and you couldn't understand a damn thing he was saying. Well, take the marbles out of your mouth, and I'll listen to. He would do that act. You know, the videos where he's acting. So your mom would get mad at me for making. I'd imitate every time the video would come on. I would do the impression of Bruce Springsteen doing his thing, and he's a talented. If you're listening, Bruce, you're very talented. But your acting was terrible. Sorry.
It didn't need to be good at, because he was so handsome. You know, that was his old angle.
Hey!
he should have been Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers, huh?
I guess
so. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But Jack, any mixtapes for you and significant others in your life?
No. Been with your mom for 100 years?
Again, the romance was already dead when you first started dating. There was no courtship.
Well, she liked Journey. I think I'm the one that got her into Journey and stuff like that. So she, maybe I did. I don't know. I would probably. I think I bought her Bruce Springsteen stuff, but I don't know if I made a mixtape. I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. And now, if she hears this, I'll get in trouble. So thanks.
So you're pleading the fifth is what it comes down to.
I'm just saying I'm old. I don't remember.
Because here's the risk that you play is like you mentioned this mixtape that you made, and she goes like, "You never made me that mixtape. Who was this mixtape for?"
Exactly. And so here I'm trying to be the last person born in the 1900s, and you guys are just making it harder for me to survive, because the stress of what I'm saying now is going to put stress on me, and I'll be number three.
Actually, you're kind of in a lose-lose, because you either say a mixtape that wasn't one that you made for her, or she'll go like, well, why didn't you ever make me a mixtape? Did you not love me enough to make me a mixtape?
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to be the last person in 1900. I do remember talking to people about Prince, and I would talk to people where I worked at Sony, and they got me into listening to Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Back in when Prince first came around, I go, Prince, what's this Prince guy? And then I said, oh, I like the music. Mm-hmm. But they didn't like Boston. So
So here's a question, though. If she would have made you a mixtape, and let's say if it would have been filled with nothing but ABBA and Little River Band, would that have been a deal breaker?
No, because I like ABBA, and we're both fans of Little River Band.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm mad enough to admit I liked ABBA, and Little River Band is one of our it's one of those guilty pleasures or what people got.
Yeah, I'm learning something new here. I didn't know you were River Band fan.
Well, people are like, mm-hmm. if we hear it on the radio, we know exactly what we start singing it. But most people, if they're going, Little River Band, what the hell is that? I bet you most people don't even know what the Little River Band is, but no, yeah.
True. That's kind of what I was throwing out
and
there.
And the Babies with John Waite. Mm-hmm. Bah, 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 bah. See, there's just different songs that we like. But no, yeah, I was never a huge fan of Bruce Springsteen, but I like Bruce Springsteen's music, but I didn't like his videos.
Bruce has grown on me over time. I was always not a big fan of the singer-songwriters, but they've grown on me a little bit. I've been in a Paul Simon kick lately and a bit of a Bruce
Paul
kick.
Paul Simon is excellent. I love Paul Simon.
He's excellent.
Yeah. I recently got the Graceland album on vinyl at my little record shop. It's a fantastic album.
You know, a man walked down the street saying, why I'm soft in the middle now?
You
know why? Because he got married.
I had a woman straight face arguing with me a couple years ago about You Can Call Me Al, saying Shishish wrote and sang that song. I'm like, no, it's just the video. And she's like, no, he sang that song. I'm like, no, he didn't. It's just the video.
Was this woman from Tennessee?
I have no idea where she was from. But it's just one of those where you want to, like, smack them, you know? Like, it's comedy.
It was on TV. I saw it.
Mm. So
he does make the video. He's very funny in the video.
Is there, you know, Nikki kind of proposed the scenario in which the music tastes are a deal breaker. Is there truly a musical taste that could be a deal breaker in the early stages of a relationship?
I think so for me.
What would it be for you, Nick?
Well, you know, it's okay if people like what they like.
Yes.
And it's okay if you like something I hate entirely, but if I put up with a song that I hate of yours, you should put up with a song that I like of mine. It's okay. Just neutral, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's if it's nothing but Backstreet Boys nonstop, it's not going to work out.
Okay. So you're fine with music you don't like as long as you can enjoy the music you like. The trade off there.
The trade-off, yeah. It's like, you know, it can be a CD of yours and a CD of mine, or it can be a song for song.
Yeah.
If it's going to be a relationship, it needs to be a relationship.
I think that's fair.
I think that is, like, your mom would play, like, Madonna. I go, okay, can we just change the music up here, please? Please, please? Or I drive off the road. Like, if you're going long distance and you're listening to Madonna all the time. I wasn't a huge Madonna fan. If she's listening, I'm sorry. I apologize.
You just basically hate all of the 80s icons, is what you're saying right now.
I like Bruce Springsteen. I just didn't like his videos. I thought his videos were. I thought they were.
And you were a Journey fan. They had the worst videos in the history of man. Yeah,
Journey does have. They're the worst videos of all time. But they're fun. They're fun videos because you can pick on them, right?
True.
Am I right?
You know,
that's true.
Yeah.
The first question I would ask anybody from Journey, if we had him on the show, I'd be like, yeah, you guys had great music, should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though Jay disagrees with me, but what the fuck was going on with those videos? Whose idea were these videos? That might end the interview right there, but come on, really?
Really?
Come on, man.
Nick, you're going to say something?
Well, I was thinking, like, I'm kind of with you, Jack. I've never understood Bruce Springsteen either, because I bought, you know, which one's his first major hit?
Born to Run?
No, that's the 80s.
Born to Run's the 70s. Born in the USA 75. Is okay. The 80s one.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Baby, Born to Run.
I bought that one. I bought The River. I bought like three of his albums, and I've listened to them cover to cover, and I've never gotten why people like Bruce Springsteen, because he doesn't have a lot of hooks. Mm-mm. His lyrics are usually kind of bland. Mm-hmm. He's not a storyteller. So I'm like, what's the appeal? I don't get it. You know,
he's American. He's American. He's high energy. I've heard of his concerts. They go on forever. He's high energy. He doesn't cheat you. He's really gives you all that effort. He's good driving music. I like his music, but I don't know.
I think it's just like the story that he tells. He kind of evokes the sentiment of kind of the working class person, you know, of that era of the right. 70s and 80s, like yeah, trying to get out of that.
He's blue collar, and yeah. I think that's most of us blue collar people respect.
But plus, I think just his live performances as well, just the energy that he brings into the songs and. But I've grown to appreciate them more. Like I wasn't a big Billy Joel fan, but I appreciate Billy Joel a lot more now in my older years.
You had to be a big shot.
Even though he's not very popular with the critics, I didn't realize that. He wasn't like, you know.
No, he's constantly, just ravaged by the critics. Because if you look at, like, I like Billy Joel. I've seen him many times, him and Elton both. And, Billy's really only got two solid albums that you can listen to all the way through and be like, oh, that was satisfying. But they all kind of stay consistent. And then, of course, in the 80s, when he kind of went to that doo-wop phase, that mm-hmm. really made a lot of people hate him.
Poor Billy.
That's the 80s, though. I mean, everybody that was popular in the 70s and 60s, when they got to the 80s, it's just kind of like, okay, we're done. We have no ideas left. Because, I mean, video had taken over at that point. Right. And it was more about the image versus the song or the art.
You know, but if I'm Billy Joel and I've had success for, what, 30 years since the 70s, right? So 40 years.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was once married to Christie Brinkley. I've made lots of money.
I've made kids with Christie Brinkley. Not only just married, but I've made children. Kids with Christie
Brinkley. I can't drive. But anyway, I'm Billy Joel. I'm Billy fucking Joel. Fuck you, critics. That's what
I think that's his approach because he hasn't released a new album since 1994, and he just tours and makes a crap ton of money. So
it's easy to be a critic. Anyone can be a critic.
Yeah,
and I can be a critic, and be but I'm Billy fucking Joel. Fuck you. I made it. You didn't. You're just a critic. You're on a blog. You're a blogger. Complaining about something. Well, if you can't do it, shut the fuck up.
Because Billy Joel was Colleen loves Billy Joel. It's something like if you're from Long Island, because Billy Joel's from Long Island.
I guess it's mandatory.
It is. It's like it's government issue. Like if you're from New Jersey, you love Bruce Springsteen. If you're from Long Island.
Am I supposed to like Blink 182 because they're from San Diego? Is that who's from San Diego?
I guess from your era, Rat would probably be.
Rat, yes, Rat.
Because Rat was from San Diego around your time.
I got to tell you, I was a huge. No, I wasn't. I like Def Leppard. I didn't wasn't really into Rat.
But Colleen's huge Billy Joel fan, and I made fun of Billy Joel a lot, and so but I've come around, to liking something that Colleen likes. There, I've adjusted to it. But if there was one type of music that it would be a deal breaker, almost a deal, like it'd make me really question the relationship, as if the woman loved modern country. I can't stand modern country. I just can't. It's horrible.
So Taylor,
it's not country.
It's not country at all.
No.
So you're not a big Taylor Swift fan, is what you're saying?
I like her as a pop artist, but like the earlier, more like twangy pop. No.
I mean, I blame we don't have to get into this a whole lot, but like I blame Shania Twain because like basically from '96 on, country music was no longer country music.
I feel like a woman.
Yeah, well, it was a crappy pop song with a steel guitar or a banjo or something to it, and they called it country, and it's not.
But it's I like just, the song.
Yeah, well,
but it's just like it's like the country songs now are just like, what's this most like? I'm a redneck woman, or I'm a simple person, and I like to drink beer, and it's just stupid. But music, stupid.
It'll
go in full circle. It'll come back to hee-haw days where.
Well, it's not just hee-haw days.
Where were you last night?
But it's become such a. An imitation of itself. It's always about trucks or boots or drinking Or it's just crazy. I mean, like that Toby Keith commercial or wherever it was where he's like, it will put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. It's like, really? I didn't know we put boots in people's asses. Like, it's just silly.
Well, we want to. We all dream about doing that because we're Americans. That's what we want to do. I don't even wear boots. But if I could get a pair of boots, the first thing I want to do is put them in someone's ass. There you go. Get out of me. Get out of my way. I'm an American.
But it's just it's the musical equivalent of a bologna sandwich. There's no.
Well, you didn't grow up in the 70s where we had to eat bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
You went to school. Everybody. I haven't had
hashtag first world problems. I know. I'm sorry, but
I haven't had. I remember going to school. Everyone had a bologna. You couldn't.
Okay. So I won't criticize bologna.
You go to school. What are you having?
But the musical equivalent of Spam, a Spam sandwich?
I used to love Spam.
All right, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry that you were a poor, poor child. But no.
Well, that's what it was. And I grew up on the rough side of San Diego. So what are you going to do, man?
Rough side of Claremont.
We're lucky we had food. We go out and had to kill our – we had to kill our food. We had to kill a Spam cow or whatever the Spam's made out of.
Spam cow.
The Spam animal, whatever the Spam is. We had to go
spam
kill
is
it.
Pork, right? Like some kind of pork?
It's a mixture of lots of things.
It's a mixture of everything, yeah.
What's left on the butcher board?
It's like, what do they call it, scrapple up in Pennsylvania?
I guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a mixture of all whatever's left of the animal. So.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to fry up some Spam. Haven't had Spam since I was probably a teenager. Well, Your mom refuses to eat it, so I don't buy it.
What about country ham?
I like country ham.
Yeah. I'm not a ham fan. I don't like ham.
Only problem with ham, it's salty, so the rest of the day I'm drinking water all day long, so then I'm peeing all day long. But I do like a good ham.
Ugh. Don't like ham.
I know you don't like ham. We got a honey baked ham, Jake. I don't like ham. Ugh. I can't eat ham.
It's too sweet. I don't like the sweetness of it. If I'm eating a meat, I want it to be pure savory, no sweetness.
Because again, it comes back to you being bitter, Jay. So you have to have everything. Everything you have to be bitter.
It needs to be doused in vinegar. Oh, man. Any other thoughts, guys, here before we get into our listener questions, queries?
No, I'm hungry now. I'm going to get me a Spam sandwich, I think.
How about you, Nick? How's the relationship game going? You're still in Tennessee. Still playing the field right now, post breakup. So any good stuff going on there?
Yeah, it's already been 4 weeks or 5 weeks since I did the last one, and I wished that I could have done the next week after I did my first one, because I had said on that podcast that the greatest thing about being in your 30s is that the ladies chase you, instead of when you're in your 20s. You know, you're chasing the women.
Yep.
But I failed to mention that the ones that are left when you're in your 30s are the ones that are usually a little crazy. And so I met this blonde girl, and she was really nice. And I could tell she was into me. And I was like, well, she's good looking. Maybe I'll take her out. And I'm not really a fashion.
She likes my music.
Go ahead.
I think I'm gonna go with her.
She likes the way I talk. Yeah. I got all my teeth.
He's a keeper. He's gonna put that boot up ass. I think he is. That's what Toby that's Keith right. would do.
That's right. You don't have to be lonely. immediately when I get home, she's already friended me on Facebook, which that's fairly normal, and so I accept. And then minutes.
How long did you got home that she friended you on Facebook?
I probably went out to dinner or something, because it wasn't – I met her in the afternoon, and I want to say I got home like around 8.
Did she have to go look – so she looked you up and found you on Facebook?
She looked me up, yeah. Like pretty much probably right after we left each other, she looked me up and found me and friended me. But I didn't see it until hours later.
What was that movie with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas?
Oh, Fatal Attraction.
Okay. All right. Just go ahead. You don't have a rabbit.
You don't have a rabbit. No, no rabbits. Although tasty.
I'm sorry. Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Fatal Attraction.
It scared the shit out of every man in America.
Yes, it did.
So I accept her friend request, and within minutes, she's blowing me up on Messenger. And it's at first, it's just innocent, like, how was the rest of your day and all this? And it just keeps going and going and going. And I'm like, okay, I don't know you yet. And so finally, I'm like, okay, I need to go to bed, and it's fine. And the next day, it's like starts up immediately. It's just text and text and text. And it's just, it literally goes from I want to take her out to all of a sudden, I'm already in the breakup stage and I haven't even taken her on the first date. Yeah. And she's like, and she's telling me, I was like, oh, I'm going through a divorce and he wasn't very nice to me and you seem like a nice guy. And I'm just like, oh, I got a clinger.
I feel bad for her though, because she's looking for something nice.
Just say I have the same DNA as your ex-husband.
Yeah.
Just something like that. Say I
don't know. What if he's like an abusive husband or something?
Well, he wants to get rid of her, right? I mean, just whatever. Just play that Toby Keith song. She might be into it, so you don't.
No.
Might bring flashbacks.
No. Nope.
About what did you say to her? How did you break it off? I mean, you hadn't even dated.
I didn't. I slept with her, and now we're engaged.
At this point, I'm already committed to at least one time going out with her, because I'd said I would take her out, but she never left me alone, so I'm already dreading it.
Oh, you haven't gone out yet?
No, we did.
Oh, you did?
This was weeks ago.
Sorry. I was like going, Jesus.
At that point, I was basically committed. I had to go out with one date. So I was like, okay, let's go out to this place. And it wasn't that bad. And she dressed up.
She didn't wear those overalls that I like so much. But
exactly. Them cut-off jean overalls.
You know, my wife, when I first started dating, she wore an overall-type outfit. And she just kept looking at me. I don't like that outfit. I go, it doesn't flatter you.
Such a romantic, Jack.
She never wore it again. And I'm usually not that honest, but because I didn't like the shoulder pad look. I've said that many times, the whole women wearing the shoulder pad look. I go, oh, look, I'm not dating a football player. But I'm glad that fad went. But no, this overall outfit, she bought it. She wore it once and never wore it again. Anyway, go on.
It's a wonder you've been married this long. But.
I'm a charmer.
Wore it. We're at dinner, and she's not so bad. She's really a nice person.
She's chewing her.
But then
mouth.
She looks at me, and she goes, she goes, you know what I like about you? And I'm expecting, like, you're kind, or you have nice eyes, or something like that. No, she goes, I like that your canine teeth protrude a little bit. I think that's sexy. And I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm not a vampire, but okay.
That is quite an opening line. I think that's a winner.
It really is.
Oh my god!
And so
now I'm trying to find a picture of you so I can see your teeth.
No, they're fine. They're normal teeth. But it's like, okay. Apparently, teeth do it for. I'm like, all right.
Well, that was easy. I don't have to work out. Just
well, you know what? I would have made an appointment with a dentist the next day and had him take the teeth out.
No, I mean, if she's turned on by it, you got to leave it in there, man.
Oh, God. At some point, I have to break it to her, and I'm real nice. I'm just like, well, you know, I'm only here for a short time, and I'm probably going to move away, so I'm not looking to get to a relationship.
I'm moving, too.
Well, I'm not moving to where you're
moving.
Moving
to? I'll come with you.
Yes. I'm open.
Yeah, it's a dangerous proposition, you know, if she's that seemingly clingy. If you say you're moving, like, well, I'm looking to move too. I mean, you open yourself up there, but like I said, it didn't go that way.
Well, she did hint at it a little bit.
Oh, damn!
But I put my foot down. It was like, no. And finally, I just went, no, I'm not looking to get in a relationship. And she was like, okay. And then she just kind of ignored it, and we went on just having a normal conversation. And then I get home, and she starts blowing me up again on Facebook. And it's like, I just don't think you're really into me. And I'm,
damn.
That's kind of what I just said was that I'm not looking to get into a relationship. She's like, yeah, but I enjoy your company and blah, blah, blah. And she just keeps going with it. And this lasted probably for another week.
You think she was just so hurt during the divorce that her husband that just.
Yeah, I think that either A, she's really picky and she just kind of put a lot of hopes into that I would be
the savior?
Next thing. Yeah, or something. But yeah, she was getting a divorce and I guess she was just looking for a really good rebound and thought that I would be it. And I just wasn't going to play that game.
Well, good on you. Good for not, you know, falling susceptible to, you know, ladies' looks or whatever, and respecting the fact that if you're not in it to be in some of a relationship, or you don't even like the person, then no need to play that game.
Yeah, because she's already probably been hurt once. So yeah. I think you did the right thing.
You're an honorable man, there, sir.
You and your fang teeth.
That's great. That's
definitely
though.
One that somebody I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's one for the ages there.
Did you go home? Wait, did you go home first and go, when you got home, kind of look in the mirror and go, kind of look at your teeth and go, what is she talking about?
Kind of look and go, well, you do. You start licking your teeth like inside your mouth going like, are they really that long? Like, what's going on here?
And then do you start looking at other guys' teeth? You're at the dinner, looking across at the guy next to you, and the guy's thinking, what, is he checking me out? No, I'm just looking at your teeth. I'm trying to compare my fang teeth to your fang teeth, but your canine fang teeth. I mean, I would. I mean, the first thing I did was like going, what the hell's wrong with my teeth? I mean, who looks at teeth? Or I guess in Tennessee, I guess you have to, but anyway.
Hey, right now we're better than North Carolina, so.
That's true.
I just live here. I'm from California.
No, you've lived here for 14 years. You voted for a few governors at this point.
I just live here. I've said this from day one. We haven't had a good governor yet.
But anywho,
they've all been losers.
Let's get into some email here before we get into the calls. First up, titled Tim's Anal Vortex, an episode title for the ages.
You didn't listen last week, did you?
No, I haven't had time.
Because we were hoping you'd come with pink eye.
But basically, Tim got pink eye, and we were talking about, well, how did he get poop in his eye, essentially? Exactly. And I guess his dog was sleeping on his pillow. But we also talked about ghost poops. And
because I said I've never had pink eye. And they said, how's that possible? Because I don't shit and then put my hand in my eye. So.
But that guy don't rub shit on my eye.
So made some lame excuse. Oh, my dog shits on my pillow or something. I don't know.
But then the thought was, okay, if it was a ghost poop, is there some type of wormhole or anal vortex in which when he poops, it ends up on his pillowcase? anywho. I'm writing in response to Tim's anal vortex episode. My husband and I have been using the pull-out technique of birth control for about 7 years. So now, Nick, one of the questions was about what birth control to use, and
that takes skill.
I brought up a point that said I saw it on the internet, something I can't remember what website it was. It might have been Huffington Post, that a lot of kids today are teenager kids. Are using the pull-out method. I go, that's just stupid for kids.
I'm sorry. I've been pulling that technique for birth control for about 7 years. I'm fearful I might be jinxing us, but it has worked 100% so far. We have no plans to ever have children, so I know Jack is judging us right now, saying, what idiots.
I am.
Who gets married and doesn't want kids and uses the pull-out technique?
I just said that today. I just said that today at work.
love listening to you guys. And I'm loving the rotating guest host, signed Idiot Kids These Days.
if you don't want kids, then just go ahead and have a vasectomy, you know.
Well, maybe
think the pull-out method is dangerous for kids.
I think
they can't control it.
It's when you're younger. But I'm saying, like, from responsible adults, if you know what you're doing, I don't think it's that bad. I know I got a lot of flack for that last week, but I don't think it's that bad.
Hold on a second. You want to have another kid, right?
True.
Right? She said she and her husband. Yeah. They don't want to have kids.
That's true. You're playing with fire a little bit.
You're rolling the dice there. I mean, for 7 years, you know.
But I would say in 7 years that they've got their technique down.
Or is one of them maybe not capable of having kids? Maybe you.
No, because again, if you pull out, it's not. You're not gonna
I'm saying maybe wife. Someone, maybe the husband doesn't have the sperm count to do it. Maybe they're not playing with fire. Maybe they're just not shooting with a full gun or whatever. With
if
saying.
You pull out, you're not.
I know, but there's still.
You still have what's the pre stuff before the full stuff.
But that only has sperm if you have come earlier in the day.
To me, that's just one more thing I got to concentrate on. It's like, that's right. I got to get out of here. That's right. I think Shandy said on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
She said it because maybe kids are not, they don't teach sex education in school anymore. Is that the deal?
Well, it depends on like what state you're in.
I got to be honest. They taught it when I was in school, and I don't think anyone in the class paid attention.
Yeah.
That was the class we went to kill an hour.
One, I think it's ludicrous when they teach like the abstinence only thing. I think it's stupid.
I paid attention in sex ed because I didn't want to boot my ass. So,
you went to school with Toby Keith, so you had to pay attention.
Yeah, I didn't want that thing going up there. I didn't want to get pregnant by a boot.
No, I'm just saying. I was thinking when I saw that, I was like, going, oh, do they still take sex? But they should teach everything. They should pick it up.
I think it's important. But I also think that it's also, parents should be a part of that as well. But I understand it's exactly. Uncomfortable for a lot of parents. It's uncomfortable for a lot of parents.
Say, hey, this is a condom. Use it. But I'd be upset if I found out what my kids are older now.
But I get, sorry.
I just don't have a lot of confidence in young kids, teenagers, doing the pullout and being successful.
Exactly, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't. No. I don't care what they say.
You're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm here. I'm where I wanted to be for all these years. I'm finally here.
Yeah. I mean, I get the argument against condoms because you don't feel much and it takes you forever. So that's why a lot of guys don't want to wear them.
And plus, it's
and then I've met girls.
Hassle, put it.
It's a hassle, and then there's sometimes they break, and it's just But it's the same as like I've met girls who don't like to take birth control because they tend to put on weight when they're on birth control.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, heck, you're going to gain a lot more weight if you don't use birth. I mean, if something else happens, so
you have to.
It's like even beyond the weight. Like for some, like I know for Colleen, it was just it would just mess up her hormones so bad that it would just
I think there has to be some, that's definitely something both couples should agree on.
Yeah, it should be good for both parties. Not
one person shouldn't have to fall on the sword. It shouldn't be a dictatorship where, no, this is what you're going to do.
What's the best? Yeah, like if the woman's comfortable with birth control, perfect. Yeah. If not, then, it's time for the man to step up in some way. Like, just whatever works for the couple. It shouldn't be the responsibility shouldn't just be on one person.
No.
It's a shared responsibility.
It should be equal shared responsibility. Yes. Exactly.
Just like if you have a child, it's a shared responsibility.
No, you got to put a condom on that boot.
With lube, hopefully.
No, I'm Toby Keith. We're not lubing it up. We're Americans.
We're going dry.
We're going to go right up your ass.
That's a French. Only the French lube it up. What are you talking about?
We're Americans, damn it. We're tough.
This is a freedom boot.
We'll just tear that shit up.
You know, people are sitting at home going, is that what the song is about? You know someone's thinking that. Oh, yeah. I'm going back to listen to Billy Joel.
What did you think Uptown Girl was about? Christy Brinkley?
Uptown Girl. Oh, Toby Keith. I thought it was about an uppity girl from a different part of town.
I mean, that's probably what it is.
But that's not what it was about?
No.
Okay.
All right, guys. Let's go to a phone call here from our good friend Jacob.
Hey, guys. It's Jacob. I have a quick question. I want to get your thoughts on being in a new relationship and the use of the L word. It's kind of got a stigma, when you can use it, when it's too soon, when it's too late even. I wanted to get your thoughts about that. I'm in a new relationship, and we kind of tackled that right away, so it was pretty smooth sailing in the fact that we just had an upfront conversation. I always thought that that was the best way to do it, but most people think that I'm crazy for just kind of upfronting that information. But, I'd like to get your guys' thoughts and see what you guys think. Thanks.
So the L word.
The L word, lady?
Facebook relationship status.
I thought he meant women in comfortable shoes. I don't. How long is the relationship? That's the thing. He didn't say that. So
we're talking about the TV show, the L word.
No, love.
Love. Oh, love. I'm sorry.
The L word.
Threw me off there. Wow, that early in the relationship.
I don't think he said that. He said the love, but
they talked about it.
They talked about it.
When to say it? Apparently.
Well, Jacob, this is guy, this girl that Nick knows on Facebook. just give her a call.
I know for Colleen and I, because Colleen was the first person and the only person I've LOVED'd, the L word.
At least it reciprocated. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Give it back to me.
I love you. I love you. I love you. People throw tomatoes at you.
Love me.
Help me, please.
Please.
It was pretty embarrassing.
But she actually, we were having a phone conversation like a month into our relationship. And
you said it on the phone?
No, I didn't. I didn't. So she thought I said it on the phone. And then she like freaked out and then hung up the phone. And I was like, why did she freak out? And I was like, oh my God, what did she think? Like, what did I say? Like, I didn't even get to the and then I called back and she's like, well, did you say something? I was like, no. I was like, well, this thing, did you say it? I don't want to it because I don't want to like bring it up so soon.
Did you say it and you're just not admitting to it?
I swear to God, I did not say the L word.
So God's up there keeping track.
I know. I didn't.
He's like going, that fucking Jay.
No,
I was there. I was listening to the conversation. He said the L word.
And so I don't know if Colleen just subliminally thought it.
Right now. Jay's lying.
I don't know if Colleen subliminally thought it, but so she just kind of 40 and slipped it.
Why'd she freak out?
Because, again, there's like the whole when do you bring up the L word in the relationship? It's, you know, you don't want to.
A month into it?
I to us, like, we didn't say. Love for the first time until we saw each other in New York in September.
Is that when George Costanza, when he said, I love you, and the girl said, okay.
Yeah. No, because like that's how the conversation came up between the two of us. Said, no, if I say it, it won't be over the phone. It'll be when we're, you know, together in person, blah, 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 romantic, romantic, romantic. And then we said it the next time we saw each other, which was in September.
I didn't say I love you. I said I loathe you.
Yes.
God, get it right.
I love your shoes.
But but it is like one of those things. I don't know. Sometimes it's organic, it's natural, it doesn't seem like a thing.
Would it be easier just to let the woman bring it up or your other
but
partner?
But what if it's like this game of love chicken where you're both waiting for the other person to say it?
You're looking for the Iron Throne? Is that what you're saying? Game of Love?
You know, like, I've never honestly ever said that to anybody, I don't think. I meant, like, just straightforward, like, in-depth conversation, like, I love you. Like, I mean, because to me, that's just, it puts pressure not only on that person, but yourself as well. Because at that point, you're almost at a point of putting that person on a pedestal or worshiping them, you know? You can be loving of a person. Like, I mean, and I've said it, like, someone could like something you like a lot too, and you didn't know that about the person, and you're like, oh man, in this moment right now, I love you. But you don't mean it as in like, I worship you or I love you. And to me, that's just, it's a really heavy word. And you can, to me, love is just loving someone as in you adore them, but you don't worship them. Because when people say, I love you, it, to me, it's like you're putting them above yourself. Yeah, on a pedestal. And that's just not me. As in, I don't think of myself as being better. It's just, I always think of a relationship as equal. So to say it in an in-depth level like that, where I think what he was implying, as in like, and what Jay was saying, is like when you say like, I love you, it's just, it's there's so much that goes with that.
Well, what
and
if,
I just kind
of, so I get the equal side of it, but what if you both love each other? Isn't that where it is the equal footing? Like where you both put each other, you know, above all else, you know, in a relationship, or it was just, you haven't had that yet. You haven't found that type of where you feel like.
No, I mean, it's hard to explain what I'm trying to really articulate.
No, okay, you're very much an equal relationship kind of thing. You don't want it to be.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, basically, you can adore somebody, because I think that's what a lot of people do when they're in love. They're really, you like someone so much, you adore them, you know. But to actually say I love you, to a lot of people, that word means it's so much more than people can wrap their head around, and it scares the shit out of a lot of people.
To me, I've always said, because I get in trouble for not saying it all the time, and to me, it's always, I would rather people show it than say it. Anyone can say it. To me, you show that you love me. This is why my wife and I have this argument. I go, I don't know, I took a bullet for you today, but I didn't say I love you, so I took the bullet for you. You know, something, I'm extreme, but I'm just saying something. I go, you know, I went to the store, you were sick, I ran to the store, I drove 15 different stores to go find something for you because I love you. Oh, but it would be easier to just go, I love you. So to me, I'd rather show someone than.
Well, so like the.
I mean, I still say it because I think you're obligated to say it so many times a year.
But, it's part of the wedding vows, contractually
obligated. Isn't it? You go, how many fucking times? Whoa, man. Okay, all right. And now it's harder because you got the phone. I mean, the phone is, you know, it used to be easier with the phone. You couldn't get to the phone. Now the phone is, oh, yeah, bye-bye, I love you. My wife used to get mad when she used to say, I hate when people say, I love you too. And I go, but now she says it all the time. And I used to call her on it, but now it's like, I don't.
So have you guys heard of the five love languages? We might have even talked about it on the show before.
I have not heard of it. I didn't pay attention.
So basically, just it breaks down into the different ways we communicate love. And when Colleen and I did our pre-Cana before we got married, we did this kind of session. It was really good, because you kind of see, because everybody's different. So for you, Jack, your wife, my mother's, her number one love language is words of affirmation. So she likes to hear that you love her.
Yes, she has to hear it.
For you, it's called acts of service. So your love language is doing things for somebody, like, you know, cleaning the house, or, you know, getting, you know, just doing something as an act of service.
Exactly.
Boot.
There's one that would probably be Kayla's. There would be one that's probably Kayla's love language, my sister, your daughter, which is receiving gifts. That's a love language. And then there's quality time and physical touch. So depending on, like, your personality and everything, and everybody has a bit of everything, but there's one that's probably the strongest. So then, you know, if you understand what your love language is, so say, Jack, you're an active service person, and your wife's words of affirmation.
Blue collar, so.
You make the effort to kind of communicate to your wife in her love language, or your spouse in their love language. It's pretty cool. There's like any type of personality type test.
Do you ever get the one where you say, she goes, you didn't kiss me today? I go, Did I see you today? You're seeing me now? I go, oh, that's right. I go, and I'm trying to think all day long. I go, because sometimes I catch her. I go, oh, no. There. She goes, oh, okay. So I have some, because I don't like to admit I'm wrong, made a mistake. So I go, she goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm thinking of how the day went. I'm trying to think. Because I will do anything to win.
Because Colleen, she's stronger on the acts of service. So again, so I try to make sure, you know, I do things every now and then that are, you know.
Yeah, I even do the flower thing. You know, even when I was in San Diego, she had a bag.
But see, flowers, that's gifts. So that's.
Yeah, but that's your mom. You know, she likes, to me, flowers are a waste of money, but I understand that, you know. So when I was in San Diego, I was going through some tough time, but she got in someone hit her car, and she still hadn't got the car back yet. She was in line for Starbucks, and some guy ran right into it. She said, bad day. So I went and ordered her flowers and sent her flowers. Because you know why? I'm just that kind of guy.
You're a nice guy. Nice guy.
I don't just send flowers for the sake of sending flowers. So the person that does it all the time is just full of shit. And if you're out there, I'm sorry, and you're doing that, it's easy. Every Friday I'm going to send her flowers.
Yeah, or it's just like there's some guys that I think go a little too far and they kind of ruin it for everybody else.
I get it, yeah. Or the
Tyler.
Person that has... You've read about the guy, some guy that has diabetes, said every... every make sure he goes to a florist and spent all this money and made sure that every 6 months his wife got flowers. Wouldn't it be better just to give her the money so she had some money to retire, you know, she could survive on?
Well, I don't know. Like, I could see the kind of like it was but an every act. Every it was an act
got the,
that
every time
he
got
did.
The flowers, wouldn't that upset you? That the person
no, because like
there?
It's something that he did while he was alive that is continually like connecting with her. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like,
is she bringing him flowers to his grave, or she's like, nah?
No, but it's like, but that's something where he's living on beyond his death. Something his actions continue to kind of
I just
take
think
place.
It'd be upsetting, but I get what you're saying now. I clearly have made a mistake there.
It's kind of like what's that Michael Keaton movie, Life, or something like that, where he makes
those
videos.
That yeah. movie,
makes
that,
videos.
That movie, I think that's the first movie I cried in the theater at. I got teary-eyed in that theater. It was sad. It was sad.
It definitely is. But to Jacob's point here, I think everybody's a little bit different because Nick has a different view. I have a different view. Jack has a different view. And we'll put
and,
out.
And like you said, you got to be, because you saw what happened with Colleen. She thought Jay said it and she hung up the phone. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That can scare. That's a big deal.
Well, so that's is how Jacob handled it here, just having an open conversation about the beginning. Some people thought he was crazy, but is there some validity
to
that?
If it works with that person, yeah, but it may not work with that person. You might find someone that goes, yeah, you're talking about that already. I think I'm going to go, yeah, we'll finish out this
go.
Date.
I'll see you later.
But your canine teeth are hot, but I still got to move on.
So again,
I'm a real literal person, you know, so I do that too. I put everything out there, usually fairly early in dating, of how I am, how I like things, and I would hope that person would do the same thing too. I don't like doing redundant things or things that are a waste, kind of like what you're saying about the flowers. I would rather have the money than you spend money on something that's just going to die.
I would agree.
Or get me a card for birthday or Valentine's Day. I'm like, you just paid $6 for a piece of paper. You know, like, to me, that's just the way I think. I know it's considerate, and I'm grateful you got me something, but in my mind the whole time I'm thinking, wow, you just wasted $6. That's like a meal at Wendy's.
When I send flowers, I never send it from Jack. I send it from Hank. And that's because Hank is the loving guy. Jack is the practical guy. Jack sending flowers would be a waste of money, so it wouldn't make sense. But I always sign it from Hank. Love, Hank. Because I think one of my daughters said, who is Hank? She goes, it's your dad. That's he doesn't send it, because I think it's just a big, and if you're a florist, I'm apologizing, but I think it's just a big waste of money.
Well, one of the
it's like 60, 80 bucks for some flowers, and you're like going, they're dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're already dead. They've been cut.
Exactly.
But earlier on in our relationship, we had a big fight because Colleen sent me flowers once. And I was just like, why the hell would you send me flowers?
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was like her thing was like, it was like a margarita glass and it had like flowers.
Oh, I remember
in it.
That.
Yeah.
It was a big margarita glass. I go, she sent you flowers.
I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with these? This is stupid.
I go, what have you been telling her?
And she was so upset. And I realized it, and I was like, that was probably the bad reaction here. But it was just that kind of like moan of honesty. I was like, why the hell would I need flowers? Like, who do you think I am? I'm just like, I just thought it was sweet. I thought you would like
You should have said, oh, thank you.
That's
thank
what
you
I should have
much.
Done. That was a failure on my part.
Yeah, strike
it was
one.
It was earlier on in our relationship. I'm still an idiot, but I was more of an idiot then.
You had that margarita glass. It was sitting in your room all the time because I could see it when we were podcasting.
Well, because I had to like have a stick save and like, you know, I had to hold on to it. You know, like it's my most cherished possession.
You still have that margarita glass?
No, I don't. I have no idea where it is.
You should have strike two. Yes,
well, no,
I
at this point, we've been together for, you know, married 5 years, together 9 years. I mean, yeah. We have a kid now. I mean, she's kind of stuck with me.
Because my wife will say, do you still love me? I go, am I still here? What the hell? What a stupid question.
Would love to hear you guys at home. What do you think? Give us a call, 510-69-TAFFY. When is it right to drop the L word, the love word, in a relationship? Maybe share some of your experiences or what your thoughts are. When is it right to say I love you? So again, 510-69-TAFFY. 69 Taffy, 510-69-TAFFY. Call in with your thoughts. And if you don't feel like talking on the phone, you can also email us at marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll just pause for a second so you can call in.
I just call to say
I love you.
I love you.
And I mean it from the... Who sings that song? The bottom of my heart.
I always thought it was Stevie Wonder, but it's not Stevie Wonder.
That is Stevie Wonder.
It is Stevie Wonder. Okay.
Yeah, that's Stevie Wonder. Definitely Stevie Wonder.
Sure, Stevie. If I could sing like you, then I could get away with it, but I can't.
We got an email here from our good friend Will. He sent in, it was a call about, it was kind of just a hookup kind of thing. Wasn't trying to be anything serious.
Is that one or his, because he had two calls, didn't he?
Yeah, this was about that one, I think.
The crazy hookup?
Oh, no, this is the different one. I think this is the one that
he was dating, and that was crazy.
That was the dating disaster.
That was
sorry.
Scary.
I mixed them up here. But this is the one that he's been dating, but likes the person, but the person's kind of giving those, I don't know if I'm ready for relationship kind of deal. So, what a difference a week makes. The day after your last episode was released, the guy I've been telling you about brought up the idea of us living together for a while at least.
Oh, there you go.
But a few days later, he tells me he just wants to be friends. He says, I'm the most important person in his life. And he's happier than he's ever been, but he's terrified of being in another relationship and just wants to be friends. I think I'll just have to leave it at that. I'm not sure it'll ever go any further. He needs to work on himself, and I need to get off this roller coaster for now. Will in Portland. That's crazy. That's just like...
Well, if he's not ready, you can't force it, so...
But it's not even that. It's just exactly. Like, but he's... On one hand, he's like, oh, let's move in together. On the other hand, let's just be friends. That's exhausting, like, if you're the other person on the end.
Yeah, it would wear you out. I mean, Unless you just think this is the one, I would probably move on. I'd stay friends, but just like I said, it just gets to the point where it's like you have to look out for yourself too.
Your gut reaction is usually the right reaction.
Right.
So if you feel you need to escape, then you probably do.
Yeah.
Unless he has something else going on, like you said, like anxiety or some kind of mental thing, because anxiety can mess you up.
Yeah, he said that he suffers from anxiety, right?
Yeah, but I think Tim suggested there's books and stuff like that that help you communicate better. But there's a certain point where, like, if it's that extreme and that, like, is this the right thing for you? You know, is this, because that'll always be there.
Because it might, and you might not even end up as friends. I mean,
yeah. So maybe not necessarily cut everything off, but take a break.
No, I would take a break. I would slow it down. Obviously, I wouldn't move in with him.
No, man, just to his point, getting off the roller coaster. I kind of agree with him. Like, maybe take a break. Like, don't even like be friends. Like, don't shut him off, but like just pause. You know, just walk away for a bit. Because for Will's own sanity. Like, you can't do that for so long before it just starts to wear you down.
It does, but yeah, communication is the key. I mean, I've dated people with mental issues, and if you can get the honest answer out of them, that really helps a lot because at least they're facing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they feel they need the space, then give it to them. And if they voluntarily come back, great. But you also need to have a little self-respect and dignity to at least go like, this is what you did to me last time. And, you know, I'm not pressure, but I mean, honesty is always the best policy. And it's just like with the last guy, like you need to be upfront if you're that kind of person. Cause that's, I mean,
well, like you said,
no point in wasting people's time.
No, the guy says, let's move in together. And then says, oh, let's be friends. So he's got some fear there. So
yeah.
Right. Is that what
but
he said?
I think Nick's point is good though. In that, you also need to be honest with him, like with what it did to you last time. Like they need to realize that, you know, you're there for them. You're going to support them, but this is what your actions have done to me. And you know that we need to be helping each other here. And you can't be hurting me. You know,
I can't help you if I'm hurting also.
Exactly. But Will, I think taking a break right now, I think is a good thing. And hopefully, whether in this break you find somebody new or things get better with this, keep us posted. Anybody else, if you guys have opinions on this for Will, send your calls at 510-69-TAFFY or email us at marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. This next one is a follow-up. This was the person that was talking about trying to become friends with the boss, the manager, that was pregnant. We had a lot of questions, and Nick, you weren't there, but at first he thought that, you know, she's the cutest one in the his work, but she's married with kid. And
kid on the way, right?
Kid on the way, yeah. And but we didn't understand if he wanted to be friends just to be friends, or he wanted to be friends to somehow eventually become something more, which didn't make too much sense. But we asked for more details. She's married with a child on the way, so
child on the way, and and she's his boss,
So that would generally generally mean she's probably pretty committed. And but yeah, so let's see this follow up here. Hey, Jay, Jack. And Chris, Jay, Jack, and Tim. No, Jay, Jack, and Nick. I'm sorry, Nick. That's kind of messed up. But
it's okay. That's really uncalled for.
Yeah. Not cool. Not cool.
I think get your boot out, Nick.
I'm sorry I got your name wrong, Tim. So, wow. Nick, this is awkward. To answer some of the questions you had for me, I had a couple more questions if I didn't mind. I didn't notice the ring when first working there. This past month, I noticed the ring. Jack might be right. Maybe she didn't wear the ring back then when I first started, and she just started wearing it recently, possibly at first. Before knowing she was married, I wanted to ask her out, but I was too shy first started working there, and a month passed by and found out she was married. So since it isn't possible to date her, I'll take what I can get and just be work friends if that was possible. But hearing your advice for me, I completely understand that I have everything working against me on that matter. And I wasn't wanting to be friends to move up in the company. Just casual work friends and outside work friends probably wouldn't be possible, as you mentioned, and definitely wouldn't want her to lose a job. Would it be all right if I asked if Rebecca had a sister? If so, what would be the best way to ask that without looking badly? On the small talks we've had, should I bring up her husband to be friendly or leave him out of our chat? It is her first pregnancy. That is a good idea to get her a gift card at Babies R Us. Thank you for that tip. I have a question about that. When is a good time to give her a gift card? I don't want to do it too early, not too late. I'm not sure when she leaves for maternity leave, so it has to be before that. And how much money should I put on the gift card? Because I don't want to come off too forwardly to her if I give her a lot on a card, since only work casual friends and don't want to give her too little. So what would be a safe amount to give her? Also, would it be okay to be Facebook friends with Rebecca, or is it stepping over the boundaries too? I've seen her come up in my suggestions tab on Facebook. And is it okay to be friends with her on Facebook? When would be the right time to add her? Thank you again, Jay, Jack, and Tim. P.S.
What do you think, Tim? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Whether you read the follow-up of the podcast or off the podcast, I like your feedback either way. Please, I trust your advice and value your opinions.
All right, Tim, what do you think?
It's absolutely a dangerous slope. You don't mess with another man's wife, that's for sure. I had a similar situation. Not really a similar situation. When I sold insurance, I had a female partner that was in the car with me every day. And I never was attracted to her, but I know her husband, just because we were every day around each other, he hated me with a passion. And I wasn't even interested in it. So, and this guy clearly wants a friendship. So I wouldn't even go down that route. If it was me, you can be casual friends. You can say hello. You can cut jokes with her around the water cooler or wherever you work. But yeah, I wouldn't. Because you're just playing with fire.
And I don't think there would be any way to, like, casually bring up if she has a sister without it being creepy.
You can check that on her Facebook page.
Yeah, if you become Facebook friends, you could try and do some research, but...
No, I mean, I wouldn't friend her on Facebook either. Because it'd be awkward if she doesn't... If you send the request, and what if she just ignores it?
Yeah. If you do become casual friends just in passing, or you talk about something that you both have similar interest in, and that goes more than like a month or two, where you actually are talking maybe once a week, you might flirt with the idea of Facebook friends. And if she throws it out that, hey, I like you enough, I have a sister, great. Yeah. But I wouldn't pursue it unless it just happens to come up.
Plus, the longer you cling to this hope of being friends and maybe leading to more sisters, it's just going to hurt you more, right?
Yeah, I think.
It's a no. You're going down the wrong path. Plus, the gift thing is easy. You just wait till someone there is probably going to. I'm sure that someone in the company there will have something for her later on, probably closer to when she's going to leave for maternity leave. They'll probably have an office thing there, and just put the gift in there. Then that way, it's not awkward. You just put.
Or it's like a joint gift. She throws in some money.
Where she's registered up. Don't get her the most expensive thing, you know. Yeah, a new car.
$50. $50.
I think $20 to $50. You know, don't like
a coupon. I mean, a gift card for getting diapers or formula is a huge gift.
But I would say
it may not look like much, but it's a huge gift.
Well, just having recently had a kid and doing the whole registry thing, just go find out the registry. It's pretty. Just search first and last name, like Babies R Us or whatever. And you can
see what people are buying too. Exactly. If people are already buying the gifts, so
exactly.
You know, so that's how you do it.
And anybody that's putting together a registry will put things that are like $5 and things that are like $500. So you'll have your range of stuff, and you can, and whatever's within your budget, within reason. Because I think if you're going over 50, I think that's way overextending it, especially if you're not even really friends with that person.
You're not even on Facebook friends.
So I think 20 to 50, I think, is a good range. But even then, I think if anything, she would just be appreciative if you got her a gift. So even if it's like a $5 bottle or something like that, it's the thought that counts in that area.
But just listen around the water cooler. I'm sure that someone there is talking about doing something.
But the time you're wasting trying to find out if she has a sister or whatever, you could be spending actually finding somebody else that's actually going to work for you.
Exactly.
If you try and go down this rabbit hole here, you're going after somebody. It's just not gonna work. So maybe try and put your focus on somebody that actually, you know, isn't married, is easy to kind of have that relationship and talk to.
There's somebody out there for you.
Yeah, exactly. There's somebody out there for everybody. Cool. All right, we have one phone call left here. Before we get that, if anybody has any thoughts about this situation, give us a call, 510-69-TAFFY.
Have you played a call yet?
Yeah, we did Jacob's call. We have one more to go.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
Hey, Jack, this one's from you. This is John in Houston. Just for your information, you've talked a lot about the Alamo. There is a complete recreation of the Alamo that is historically accurate back to the Battle of the Alamo in Brackettville, Texas. That's where all the movies about the Alamo have been filmed, including the one with John Wayne. It's actually a much nicer looking Alamo than the one in San Antonio. The one in San Antonio was let go to hell for many, many, many years. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the call. Does that make you feel any better about your Alamo experience?
Well, I'm just saying that should be in the brochure. Don't go to the one in Brackettville, not the one in San Antonio.
Well, here's because my thing.
Nick, you weren't. Have you been to the Alamo in San Antonio?
It's San Antonio. Say San Antonio.
When in Texas, I say San Antonio.
By the way, the Glatfelter curse continues. Look at those San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sarah, about that.
You don't go.
Go ahead.
I was saying you don't call San Francisco Frisco because that's something you don't say. So don't say San Antone.
Well, I say San Antone.
Yeah, okay. But you sound like a dummy when you say it.
They say that's how they say it.
No, they come don't.
I found a movie clip where they were talking about San Antone and they said San Antone.
Oh Lordy, it's in a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. You don't think people in North Georgia actually play banjos and have sex with men in canoes, do you?
Yes, because I've seen it. I saw it.
Yeah.
It's what kept me from being a canoer. Like I said, I can't do that. I'm just saying, because Nick, I know you don't do it because you got some pretty fang teeth. So I mm-hmm. You got some pretty fang teeth there, boy. Anyway, Butch Cassidy.
You can't swim in boots.
what about Butch Cassidy?
Did you think Butch Cassidy sent his kid? Did you think that they just froze like that for all time?
Yes, because they never confirmed they were dead, right? If you probably go there, they're probably still sitting there like this. Don't move, Butch.
I mean, yeah.
Don't move, Sundance. They think we're dead already.
Yeah. Okay.
So have you been to the Alamo?
I have. It's okay.
And what was your thoughts when you walked into the Alamo?
It's been many years, but yeah, I didn't, because I was still a teenager, so I didn't. It wasn't much there. It was just kind of some.
It's just rough the front walls of the, it's just the front of the Alamo that's been rebuilt. And you go, huh. My point was, I go, people probably go on vacation. Hey, let's go to San Antonio so we can go see the Alamo and all that stuff. And it's just, you get there and you go, I spent $2,000. What? This is the Alamo? I was really disappointed.
Well, why? And here's my thing: why is there a better one somewhere else when you have the Alamo there? Like, why not make that one?
But obviously, they did. Like he's saying, they didn't keep it up. I honestly believe this. I haven't really done. I got to do the research. I think the movie with John Wayne came out, the Alamo, and the people in San Antonio said, "Hey, we could make money on this. We'll just say, hey, here's the Alamo. Come to San Antonio, you know, for the great salsa." And the Alamo, but it got torn down. We put buildings all around it. Oh, it's okay. We'll build these old looking walls around, and we'll put flowers in here, and they'll never know that this wasn't the actual fort. Because I questioned whether this was the actual location of the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
But anyway, that I would like to see the remake.
I
love the movie, the original movie. I love it.
But
since I saw that, I go, oh wait, it's still there.
If I could just say, Jack, I'm excited that we have this on tape, that you would prefer to see the remake of something than the original. It's
because the original sucks.
I get that you think the original.
The original sucks. I mean, it's come on, and everyone had that same everyone had that same look when they walked in. It's like, did I tell you about the picture of the lady? Your mom and I stand there, and you're walking in line, and there's a girl there. Would you like your picture taken? And you go, and we both look. There's trees behind us, trees and plants. I go, of what? She goes, just have your picture taken. I go, no, we're good. So we walk in. What they do is they superimpose the front of the Alamo on the thing. I go, here's a thought. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have to take the pictures out in front of the Alamo itself, not superimpose it on there.
It's not. It just doesn't work.
My Alamo experience was not fantastic.
Well, there you go.
That's the last time I say, unless someone from San Antonio tells me I can't say San Antone, I'm going to say San. And I do say Frisco.
Oh,
so there.
It's amazing.
When people say you're from Cali, I go, no, I'm from California. I don't say Cali.
So see, now you understand where they come from.
But I think people in San Antonio do say San Antonio.
Oh, God,
do say
shut
San
up.
Antonio.
Stop
it's a
it.
Long name.
San Antonio? It's not that long.
It's long. It's like San Antonio.
San
oh
Francisco.
God.
It's the same amount of syllables.
Frisco.
San Antonio.
Easier. Frisco.
So it is one more syllable.
I'm going up to the Niners. I don't even say 49ers. I say Niners.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Niners.
Well, they're the Santa Clara 49ers now, in all fairness.
I don't say 49ers. I say Niners.
Wow, you're so cool and hip.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Fake said I love you on the phone to someone and freaked him out.
I didn't. She just thought I said it. All right.
And then when they sent me flowers, I said, come on. Really? I'm a guy.
All right, guys.
I was going to say it.
Oh, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, like, a lot of the Old West places are that way, too. Like, if you go to Tombstone, and I apologize to anyone who lives in Tombstone, Tombstone's disappointing. It's a tourist site. The streets are paved. It's, you know, it's not what you expect.
What?
It's not Wild West. Yeah.
I want there's no Kurt Russell there, and there's no Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday?
I mean, you got some people dressed around in costumes, and there's a few buildings that are wood planked, but for the most part, it doesn't look like the West that you think of. If you want to go somewhere and actually get that experience, you need to go just outside Tucson. There's a little old Hollywood studio called Old Tucson, and it's a bunch of city blocks, and it's just full of that stuff, and you have way much more fun.
So that's
what
you
expect, and they'll take the old.
You're saying if I took the train to Bolivia, and got off, it wouldn't look like shit.
Look, people probably drive hundreds of miles to a place.
Like New Jersey?
Oh, that's where you're wrong. Yeah.
Bolivia.
Jay's like going, I don't get it. I don't get it. Jay likes the music from Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid.
Oh, it's the worst.
Great soundtrack.
Academy Award winner. There we go. Burt Bacharach, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Burt Bacharach.
It's the first historical movie, the timepiece period movie with modern music in the cinema history.
And it's total crap.
Raindrops are falling off my head.
Anyway, all right.
What do you have against Burt Bacharach?
Final thoughts before we close out the show, gentlemen.
Is that a deal breaker for you if a girl's like Burt Bacharach?
No, I mean Burt Bacharach's fine. It's not. I wouldn't. You know, I don't. You know, put the record on every day to listen to it, but it's all right.
My final thoughts is I'm going to Brackettville, Texas. No, actually, let me change that. I'm going to Brack.
Okay.
That was a bad joke. That was pretty bad. You're getting bad when you're an hour and a half in. That's the kind of jokes you get.
You get what you pay for. Okay. Yeah. And our patrons only pay for an hour and 25 minutes.
Well, we're at an hour 25 right now. Actually, hour 26. Nick, final thoughts for you.
That's why it was bad the last minute.
Didn't bring the A game.
Nope. Well, I did up until the last. I'm good for an hour and 25 minutes, and I'm done.
You have like a 100-pitch cap, and then like after that point,
exactly.
It's like
you got to take me out. I don't want Tommy John surgery.
Whether it's 5 innings, 7, or 9, you're done at 100.
Who was the person that had the second Tommy John surgery?
Randy Jones,
former Padre. No, it wasn't Randy Jones. He did eventually have it, but it wasn't Randy Jones.
I don't know who.
Steve Mura. Steve Mura was the second person to have it. So. If Steve Mura would have had his arm injured sooner, he would still be remembered today. Tommy John would be, okay, he's a good pitcher. We like Tommy John. But it would be called the Steve Mura. Does that make sense? Oh, you have to have Steve Mura surgery?
Tommy John sounds better. I'm glad it was Tommy John.
What do you have against Steve Mura?
Nick, final thoughts.
On what?
Anything before we close out the show.
Oh.
On San Antone.
I have a great river area. It's a lovely city. Go visit it.
The Riverwalk?
The Riverwalk is excellent.
The restaurants there, they have excellent food there. Texas knows how to make a steak. That steak was, I could still taste it. It was that good.
But West Tennessee barbecue is still better.
Sorry, Austin, Texas barbecue is the best.
It's not barbecue, it's beef.
I mean, I've had Nashville. I went to the Peg Leg Porker, which is fantastic.
Peg Leg Porker?
Peg Leg Porker.
It's in Nashville.
Okay.
I've had Kansas.
They canceled Nashville, Nick?
That's a big revenue generator.
No, I never watched the show.
But I've had Kansas City barbecue. I've had Tennessee barbecue. I've had North Carolina barbecue, and I've had Texas barbecue. Kansas City is actually pretty darn good, but. I just personally.
It is. Kansas City.
The best I've had is Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas. All right, guys. That
looks good.
That is it for this week's episode. Nick, thank you for coming on today. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for sharing your dating experiences. I think hashtag I like your incisors or canines.
My canines.
That has to be a first.
That really does have to be a first. That's great.
It is. It was for me.
I think we'll consider that our dating disaster for this week. If you guys would like to call in about anything talked about in this week's episode, as well as if you'd like to call in for any new things going on in your relationship that you'd like advice for, give us a call at 510-69-TAFFY. Once again, that's 510-69-TAFFY, or give us an email.
Wait, who's hosting next week? Is it Brian?
I think Brian is
on
the dock.
Send your thing. Hey, Jay, Jack, and Nick.
Yes, please. Need a little recognition.
Keep the tradition alive.
Exactly.
We'll be recording that next Monday. So if you want to get in your feedback, do it before Monday.
I'm leaving for Diego
on a jet plane. Actually, Diego is short for Didicus. Saint Didicus is his actual.
That's good to know. So now I'm leaving this for San.
Well, San is saint. So if you wanted to define it, probably Diego.
I'm leaving for SD.
South Dakota?
I thought it was a whale.
STDs. I'm living SD now.
No, not a whale. Not a whale. Not a whale's vagina.
Oh, okay.
Contrary to popular belief, it's not German for
named after
a
whale's vagina.
San Diego.
Diego.
All right, guys. Until next time, hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.